Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
Oh, Monday, 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 Monday. How you creep up on us. It's Monday already, but that's okay. I'm going to help you get through it. Hang in there with me. Hope you all had a good weekend. Hope you all had a good weekend full of self-care. And those that went to the Life is Beautiful Festival, I'm sure you had an amazing time. I've heard nothing but good things. I was looking at Nicole Alvarez from K-Rock's IG story, watching her enjoy it. Looked fun. I didn't make it out there this weekend, though, but so it is. The Emmys happened last night. Now, I didn't watch them. I don't know that I've actually ever watched the Emmys. I don't have television. I have, what do you call it? Streaming Apple TV? Is that what you call it? Yeah. Okay, but I do track the news, and it looks like we're finally getting to a place where people are really taking their platform seriously. Supposedly, and we're going to talk about it tonight, a lot of winners were taking their moment to just really highlight some changes we need to make in terms of culture and just kind of trying to level the playing field. And it's a really beautiful thing to see. Patricia Arquette, who lost her sister Alexis, who's trans, beautifully got up there to talk about the difficulty for, you know, trans individuals in our culture, but also, you know, dealing with their own loss, and was throwing out some stats backstage. And these are always really powerful things to look at, that trans women in America make less than, on average, less than $10,000 a year, which is considered deep, deep poverty. And also, this one I was familiar with, and we've talked about this on Loveline, that trans women in America have a life expectancy of 35. And if they're of color, it's even younger. Imagine your life expectancy being 35. And that is not because of anything genetic or biological with someone who's trans. It's because of social stigma, oppression, and violence. But let's hear a clip of Patricia's delivery.
And that's great. But in my heart, I'm so sad. I lost my sister, Alexis, and that trans people are still being persecuted. And I'm in mourning every day of my life, Alexis, and I will be the rest of my life for you until we change the world so that trans people are not persecuted. And give them jobs. They're human beings. Let's give them jobs. Let's get rid of this bias that we have everywhere. Thank you.
Now, what's amazing is, you know, she was up there because she won the award for Outstanding Supporting Actress for her role in the Hulu show The Act, which I did see, and took the time on stage to advocate for transgender equality. I mean, that's stunning. So Michelle Williams also used her platform to kind of advocate as well. And we have a clip. Let's listen to Michelle Williams.
And so the next time a woman, and especially a woman of color, because she stands to make 52 cents on the dollar compared to her white male counterpart, tells you what she needs in order to do her job, listen to her, believe her, because one day she might stand in front of you and say thank you for allowing her to succeed because of her workplace environment and not in spite of it.
Yes, queen.
That's amazing. It warms my heart. They're getting up there instead of taking their big moment and their accolades for, again, stunning jobs that are well done. They use that time, that airtime, millions of people watching, to really advocate for those that are of minority status. I think that's beautiful. I think that's how it's done. So props to both of them. That's stunning. Now, oh, Piers Morgan, where have you been? Where have you been? For those that are, you know, diehard Dr. Chris or Loveline fans, you know that me and my buddy Piers Morgan, you know, buddy in my head only, this guy's always got something problematic to say. We got acquainted online on Twitter when he was attacking Amber Rose, and I got in on it, and me and him were battling on Twitter a little bit, and that's what kind of started this. A long time ago, I was actually on his show. I was a guest on his show to promote, do PR for a TV show I was doing. He wasn't that bad of a guy back then. I kind of feel like the larger his platform's gotten and the more famous he's gotten, the more heinous he's become. which I guess is what happens, right? The more famous you get, the more empowered you feel, the more disconnected you are from what's happening on the ground, and you start to really believe in your own crap. But anyway, Piers was misgendering Sam Smith. Now, there's actually two stories in the story. First off, the Brit Awards, which would be the British equivalent of the Grammys, they're taking a radical step, and they're restructuring their categories. I love this. They're no longer rewarding artists based on their gender. So they're not going to have, you know, a best female category or, you know, the best male album. They're just going to do best album. I think that's awesome. I can't wait till we get to that place in sports as well, where we just have sports teams and you can be gender, non-binary, what age, whatever it is. And people just are there for their abilities. So I think that's awesome. Piers Morgan, though, has a problem with it all and somehow throws Sam Smith in there. Piers says, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Women in this new change will suffer eventually. I suspect that what's going to happen is male performers will end up winning all the awards. Now, why do you say that? That was really, really odd to me. And then basically blames the whole shift on Sam Smith coming out as non-gendered. He says the idea that you have to change an entire award category because one person decides one day to wake up and say I'm non-binary is nonsense. Oh my God. I love that change. I think that's stunning because whether you believe it or not, not everyone has a gender or within the genders. And we're, you know, finally meeting people where they're at, not people trying to meet institutions where they're at, right? Like marriage has to evolve to meet where people are at. Theology has to, award shows. We should be squeezing our own selves into these institutions. But bigger news, 1 year anniversary. That is right. It's part of National Coming Out Day and the 1 year anniversary of Channel Q. We've been going strong for a year. We're going to be flying you and a friend out to the home of Channel Q, LA. For a weekend getaway. Come on, y'all. You get a weekend getaway here in LA. We're going to take you out in West Hollywood for party hour at world famous Abbey. We're going to put you up in a hotel and give you 2 tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, the Weekend Survive concert at the Hollywood Bowl. Now, this has Taylor Swift, Lizzo, the Jonas Brothers, Camila Camello. Right? Did I say it right?
Camello.
There's a B missing in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I love misspellings. Anywho, come out and celebrate Channel Q's coming out, National Coming Out Day in LA. Go to wearechannelq.com to enter and win. Come on, y'all. Come on out. Come on out and see us. All right, you're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Come on, y'all. You know you're getting into that jam. When that song, that's one of those songs where it comes on and you just, you lose yourself, you know? I was eating some veggie hot dogs on the way to the radio tonight, and they're coming back up on me. You know what I mean? Is that TMI?
I want some.
Yeah, they were really good. I was like having my little, you know, this is one of those funny things where you can't win. Because if I said, oh, I was eating hot dogs on the way, and everyone would be like, ah, I thought you were a vegan. But if I'm all like, oh, I had vegan hot dogs, and I had a little vegan mayonnaise on them, they're like, we know, we get it, you're vegan. And it's like, you can't win. You know what I mean? Like, you can't win.
Now you made me hungry.
Yeah. Anywho, they were delicious, just so y'all know. I tend to be an overeater or an undereater. So when I'm overeating, that's great. I'm taking care of myself. But I tend to also undereat and I have to remind myself to eat, right? It's self-care.
Yes, queen.
Thank you. It's a difficult one. It's like the hydration thing. I'm always dehydrated. But y'all, you just know, Jeffrey's got me hooked up with, producer Jeffrey has water bottles everywhere. How do I get through any segments always needing to pee? But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, especially as I get older. Anywho, young forever. Okay, Los Angeles County, they just endorsed PrEP, but as a 2-1-1 dose. Okay, what does that mean? Well, for those that are late to the game, PrEP is a pill that, when taken, has a higher success rate than condoms for preventing the transmission of HIV. It's a daily pill. But there's now an on-demand version. It's the same thing, but instead of taking it every day, you can take it based on the 2-1-1 schedule. It's an off-label dosing regimen, but LA County is now like high-fiving it. We're all about it. Basically, what that means is instead of taking it every day, which isn't doable for some people have negative side effects. Others just don't want to take a medicine every day. I fall in that camp. I don't support big pharma. I don't think that they're a very ethical institution. However, pharmaceuticals are important and save a lot of lives, so I'm not saying don't take medications. It's for another conversation. But they're now changing the dose for those that are like not high risk, those that aren't hypersexual. If you're hypersexual, please take PrEP every day. But for those that aren't and they see the weekend coming and they're like, yep, I'm going to get mine this weekend. What you do is the 2-1-1. What that means is 2 pills, ready, 2 to 24 hours before sex. So 2 to 24 hours. That's the day before, up to a few hours before. Come on, we can all handle that. Then you take one pill 24 hours after the exact time you took the first dose. Totally doable. And then one more pill 24 hours after that. Bam, you good.
And
then you can stop. Kick it for a few more weeks, and then when you feel time to get your dirty on again, you do the 2-1-1. Because again, not everyone wants to take it every day. So right now the efficacy is being looked at. Reduce the risk by 86% based on placebo. I mean, I'm not mad at that one. You know, the stats are always all over the place, right? Because there's another one that showed it to be 98% when administered 2 to 24 hours. So you really got it. The stats are all over the place. But nonetheless, it's a powerful way to prevent the transmission of HIV. I'm just going to leave it there. Y'all do you? I mean, and now if you don't have a doctor that understands it, you don't have access to a medical clinic, you're not openly out or wanting to talk about your sexuality, there's delivery services. We were talking about NERCs. There are delivery services where we'll discreetly deliver it to your home, and you'll work with a doctor online. I mean, that's stunning. Medications being brought to your door. Not everyone has the ability to leave their home either. Not everyone has a car. Not everyone can afford gas, right? So I'm glad these things exist. Okay. More good news. Megan Fox, yo, high five. Haven't heard her name in a while. Her and Austin Green, Brian Austin Green, they have a son. And basically, the son likes to wear dresses. Their son is 6 and wore a dress to school. And he came home and he's like, Mom, all the boys laughed at me. And Megan and Brian sat down, their little nugget child, Noah, and said, yo, look, you love fashion. There's always going to be a bully. We support you wearing what you want to wear. Sometimes you like wearing dresses, and they say, and I quote, he's really into fashion. He's the one, like, sometimes he'll dress himself and likes to wear dresses sometimes. I mean, that was like the oddest quote I've ever read. But basically, they're trying to teach him how to be confident no matter what anyone says. That's what a stunning way to do it, you know? And they're also instilling confidence that he can make his own decisions. Fashion never hurt nobody. And he'll learn how to deal with bullying. I'm all about that. Look, parents letting their kids do what they do. Happy kids. All right, coming up next, we're going to be celebrating Bisexual Visibility Day. That's right, today's Bisexual Visibility Day. We're going to be breaking down some myths about bisexuality. And then later in the show, talking about some hidden relational deal breakers. Definitely want to stick around for that. Question tonight's up on our Loveline IG page. It's about bisexuality and the double standard between men and women. So weighing on that, you're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're in here doing the Oreo challenge, trying to figure out what these. It's on my IG story. You can see the behind the scenes, the mystery Oreo challenge. Trying to figure out what flavor these are. You'll get to see me get quite surprised when we figure out what we think it is. But today is Bisexual Visibility Day. Very, very important. Why is this very important? Well, let's go with this stat. It's estimated that bisexuals make up the largest part of the LGBTQIA community. Largest. About 50%. You know, bisexuality, I was talking about this on Loveline a couple weeks ago. I did my own little research project. Very small sample size. No longitudinal study for those that are all about statistics. Wanted to understand how many people were comfortable with the idea of dating someone that's bisexual. Pretty much no one was. And that was really disconcerting because everyone really pretty much worked it through and landed in the same place, which was they don't think it's real. And if we're talking about a guy specifically, they don't think it's real and they saw it as a denial of homosexuality. So let's break down some harmful myths. That being one, you know, it's amazing the things that we'll accept in our culture. We hear heinous, heinous, heinous things done on the news, things that we would not can never imagine doing to another human being. Parents doing horrible things to their children. We're like, yeah, we get it. And then you're like, how about bisexuality? They're like, nah, don't get that. Like, it's fascinating. Trump's our president. Isn't that enough to believe anything? Isn't that enough? All right. So Bisexual Visibility, let's talk about some of the myths. First off, that bisexuals are just confused. No. They're actually quite aware of themselves and aware of the fact that they have an attraction to multiplicity in terms of gender. Now, sometimes people see bisexuality as just into men and women and it ignores anyone outside the binary. And for others, it's a little more of a pansexual thing, meaning all gender expressions are meaningful and erotic to them. But nonetheless, there's no confusion in it. I don't know why we are built in a way where we assume one has to choose one or the other and people can't necessarily be occupying many spaces in terms of sexual orientation. Here's another myth that I love, that bisexuals are just greedy. They're just sex hungry, greedy, greedy, greedy people. And that may be the case, but that's not due to their bisexuality. You know what I mean? Bisexuality, again, is just about an attraction to more than one gender. right? It does not speak to their sexuality in terms of their sex life. It does not speak to them being greedy. Also, this is another one that I love, that bisexuality is just a stepping stone to being gay. You're just on your way there. Just haven't quite gotten off that off ramp and landed. But even if it is a stepping stone, cool, do you. You know, be in your journey. Look, I say this all the time, and this is in my book, Rebel Love. Whatever you see right now as your sexual orientation is a starting point. We live in a very sex-phobic culture, toxic masculinity, right? Homophobic. We're afraid of being seen as slutty or sex addict. We don't fully explore our sexuality. And a lot of people, when they come out as gay or hetero, they're like, bam, done. And it's like, no, it's a lifelong learning process. And hopefully every time you have a new partner, and even with the same partner, hopefully you're constantly exploring and pushing the boundaries and discovering new parts of yourself. It's always evolving. The gender choice might not evolve, but everything you do within that should, and gender choice could. There's the possibility of it always being an evolving process. Sexuality isn't a place we have to land. It's just a process that we stay in. But we're obsessed with this idea of figuring out your true, authentic sexuality. And once you land somewhere for a long time, somehow that erases all the sexuality that occurred before. And I look at my own journey, and it's a very, very colorful, chaotic, diverse one of all sorts of partners of different gender expressions and orientations and sexualities. And it keeps rolling on. And there's something really beautiful about that. But that's because I confidently do the work. Another myth, and this came up with my ex-fiance, bisexuals are more likely to cheat. Now, again, being bisexual, again, is just about gender choice. It has nothing to do with your integrity or your ethics. And I know when I was talking to my ex, and I was telling him that I'd have sex with people that are trans or people that are female identified. It was a guy at the time, and he was like, oh, great, more things to worry about. And I was like, no, I have really great boundaries and I'm very ethical. And if I want to have sex with other people, I let you know someone know, and I reorient the boundaries. And it's all just about honesty and trust. But bisexuality doesn't necessarily... is not, you know, not compatible with all that. Bisexuals are more likely to have STIs. Another problematic myth. Also, this other one about bisexuality always being 50-50. Some people can be 10-90. Other people 80-20, guys and girls. It doesn't have to be a complete split 50-50 down the middle. And you're still bisexual if it's 1% gay, 99% hetero. Still kind of falls under that umbrella. It exists. That's why I love days like today, because it gets people to come out, gets people to talk about it, gets people to be more confident. It gets people to identify, that's me, that's something that makes sense to me. And so we got to log them all. I'm sure like once a week there's a like asexual day, bisexual day, fetish day, kink day. I mean, we're going to find them. Loveline, we got your back. All right, coming up next, we can slide into DMs and then doing some hidden deal breakers. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Time to slide on into those DMs.
Into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Yeah, get out there and explore, kids. Come on now. Come on. All right, here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, how do you suggest I stay strong when a guy I'm into ignores me, but then always comes back? When he isn't doing anything on the weekend, he talks to me a lot, but when he's busy, he ignores me completely, then we'll reach out after 2 days or so like nothing happened, pretending like he cares and that it's nothing personal about my text being ignored. I know I shouldn't allow him to keep treating me like this, but I don't know how to fix it. What do you think? Well, a couple things. You're not inherently being treated poorly. This person is just operating from the level of closeness and intimacy that they want. And that's what I tell people to do. If you don't want to keep up close with someone, don't respond and text them all day, every day. Set boundaries and get back to them when it makes sense to you. And so this person might be operating from that. Like during the week, they're very busy. And on the weekends when they have more downtime, they're willing to kind of flirt and connect. So I don't want to necessarily frame it like they're treating you problematically, because they're just being authentic with how close they want to get. And you have to decide if that's compatible, because a lot of people get hung up on, do they like me or do they not? And I say, is it compatible though? If this person blows you off during the week and is around on the weekends, if that works for you, cool. text all weekend long, have fun on the weekends, but don't expect anything during the week. But if you want more seriousness, closeness, or commitment, then this person is not compatible for you. I don't want to always frame it like they're bad, wrong, because that's what makes sense to them. And they're operating from, again, what's comfortable for them. It's clearly not working for you. So I don't want you to stay strong. I want you to go find someone that's looking for what you're looking for. There's a lot of people that would love to hear from you during the week. So I don't know that there's anything to fix. You reach out during the week, they ignore you, and they're around on the weekends. But maybe you also just need to reorient what is available from this person. If you can just enjoy your time with them on the weekends and it's something very casual, then keep that around and talk to other people that are more available to you during the week. I mean, that's what dating's about, right? Figuring out who you want to be in a relationship with, if any of them. And yeah, so good luck with that one, though. You know, nothing so bad about that one. All right. We are celebrating our 1 year anniversary here at Channel Q. And in support of that and coming out day, we're going to fly you and a friend to LA, where we are. Channel Q, home in LA. It's good stuff. We're going to take you out in West Hollywood. We're going to take you to the world famous Abbey. We're going to put you up in an amazing hotel and also give you two tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, the We Can Survive concert at the Hollywood Bowl. If you haven't been to the Hollywood Bowl, it's stunning. It's iconic. Taylor Swift's going to be there, Lizzo, the Jonas Brothers, and a whole bunch of other people. So go to wearechannelq.com to enter and win for more details. You know, you might even get to hang out with me. Maybe I'll pop out and have a cocktail with you at the Abbey. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. I want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some hidden deal breakers. Listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
You know how you're on your social media and you're like Googling something like, I'm going to look for a new couch on Google. And then all of a sudden on Facebook and IG, all of a sudden all these ads for sofas start popping up and you're like, something's going on. All right. Well, I just got totally hooked. There's a page that came up and it's 10 places for vegan desserts that have sprinkles on them. Yeah. Cause everything's better with sprinkles. And I'm sitting here going through them like a madman, writing them down. I'm like, going there. Now everything with sprinkles is going to be all over my feed. All right. So question of the night's up on our Love on IG page. Why do you think there's a double standard when it comes to bisexuality between men and women? Weigh in on that. We'll be breaking that on down later. But right now, let's talk about some hidden deal breakers. Don't agree with all of these. So we're going to unpack them all. Because a lot of this sex and dating advice that's out there is just a hot mess, which is why I write the books I write. Because, yikes. I'm not gonna shame anyone, but I'm looking at some of the quote-unquote experts that are quoted and given these advice. And I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, here we go. So one of my favorite things I tell people is everything counts. Some people think like, oh, you know, the compatibility or assessment clock doesn't start ticking till we like show up on the date. Oh, no. Every interaction you have with someone matters. Pay attention to all of that. How they deal with first connecting, how they deal with planning the date. I mean, like all of those things matter. Some people will not leave a 2 mile radius of their house to come see you. I'm like, all these factors start to let you know their dating history, their flexibility. You hold it all loosely, but I mean, everything matters. Everything counts. So the clock starts, from the first swipe. So one of the things that is being called out as a hidden deal breaker is people that are too eager to impress. Now, I talk all the time about being really authentic in your choices when dating so that you can really assess each other and not to sell a dream and plan these dates that just are not really truly compatible with who you are and what you would be doing with this person in the future. So on one hand, sure, come from your best, but again, don't create a lifestyle that this person's assessing for compatibility around if that's not actually the lifestyle you lead. So a hidden red flag or deal breaker is this uber intent to impress. So check yourself on that. Like, again, you want to really assess compatibility. And the only way you can do that is if everyone's leading their truly authentic life. And then you can really see, how does that feel? Also, this is another favorite of mine. Oh, we've all been here. A conversation monopolizer. You've been on a date with someone and you're sitting there and they are talking and talking and talking about themselves. And you're wondering, have they forgotten that there's another human being sitting here? Do they have no interest in who you are? And they just go on and on. Now, some people do that out of anxiety, where they just aren't calm and centered and acknowledging there's another person there, which is why I always say to people, if you're interested enough and you have the time, always go on a second or third date. Give someone the ability to settle down a little bit, because first dates can be really hard on people, or maybe they just happen to have an extremely rough day that day. And so really wanting to be in a relationship is about being flexible. You can't write people off right away. You can't give them only one chance. I mean, that's how people keep themselves single, is they're not flexible. They're not open. They don't allow people to kind of balance and settle themselves. Because again, sadly, every relationship deals with the drama and the injuries of the one before, and people need time to kind of work through and work out of that. So you got to give people the space to do that. Another huge one that's not so hidden is how they treat others. You know, we all pay attention to how people interact with people that have less power than them. That's usually the servers or people at restaurants and things like that. That really matters. And it's shocking that people aren't aware of themselves. It's shocking that people would treat people with less power than them that problematically. But I have been at some dinners where people just are so offensively problematic with the way they treat these other people that it's like, you know, what a powerful deal breaker that is. Also, flakiness. Look, this is kind of more of a heads up I give someone who's interested in another person. Like, make sure you show up, because interested people like signs of interest, and confident people aren't going to stick around in a relationship of any kind of deprivation. So what does that mean? It means if you're interested in someone, show up, be really bold in expressing that, because people with high self-esteem aren't going to stick around for you to play your little game and try to act uninterested or aloof or whatever it is, because you don't want to get too vulnerable or whatever it is you're trying to work through. But I also talk often a lot about changes in patterns. So when people initially start talking and exchanging numbers early in the dating history, I guess early on, you set a standard around how often you're talking. And if that drastically changes, that's an understandable red flag. So if you're used to talking to someone all day long and then 2 days go by and you don't talk, yeah, something happened. And it's understandable that people want to understand what happened or that they feel the impact of that. So if you are interested in someone and you form a pattern or a habit, you got to kind of stick with that or at least give an explanation as to why that shifted, because that's an understandable red flag for someone to weigh in on. And then finally, as always, just how people talk about their exes. I mean, people in general, but also their ex, because again, that might be how you're talked about at some point in the future. And again, people that have done the work and can at some point be friends with their exes, it's a really good, important sign. All right, y'all, good luck. It's rough out there in the dating world. Got to bring your best. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jen Wider, talking about some things to think about when you're out there hooking up. Listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. It's Monday night, so we're going to be chatting, as always, with Dr. Jen Wider, women's sexual health expert. So what do you got on your mind?
So I thought maybe we would talk about the hidden health hazards of a one-night stand.
Ooh, spooky. All right, I love it.
Definitely spooky. You know, moving into October, wanted to give you a Halloween type topic. And this is hooking up with Frankenstein and the like. But, you know, I think when it comes to these one-night stands, I think people are concerned, you know, mildly concerned about some of the fallout. But we don't think about all the time the psychological fallout.
Right.
In addition to some of the physical health hazards that may exist, if you decide to hook up with somebody casually for a night, you know, and whether you're in a heterosexual relationship that's single sex, there are a ton of health hazards that you sort of need to navigate. It's a bit of a minefield.
Right.
So let's break it down, Chris. I thought the first thing we can talk about is something physical. A lot of people feel like, and it's funny because I've interviewed a ton of people for different books that I've done, and if somebody has a one-night stand, they often think that their risk of catching something is not as high as if they have, you know, a continuous relationship with somebody, because they feel like the chances of catching something once is less than being with, you know, multiple partners a lot, or just, you know, being with the same person over and over again and not having protected sex. So all it takes is one time with anybody to catch anything that the person may have.
Right.
From a biological standpoint, it's easier for a woman to catch an STD from a man if they're in a heterosexual relationship than it is the other way around, okay? If two men are in a relationship, it's equally as dangerous for both men to catch a sexually transmitted infection from one another, depending on what sexual activity they're engaged in. So one of the trickiest things about this, Chris, is that a number of sexually transmitted diseases have no symptoms. They're completely asymptomatic, and especially in guys. So someone may not show an outward sign of an infection at all, and the person may not even know that they're carrying something, and that's the issue.
And that was what was interesting too, is I was talking to a couple clients in my practice, and I had to educate one of them where they thought, not only were they also thinking what you just said, that, you know, everything's always a visible thing and you can just use eyesight to kind of figure out what might be happening with someone. I also had explained to them that just because you don't have an outbreak with some STIs, that doesn't mean that you can't still infect another person.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's really hard. One of the other myths is that people feel like asking about somebody's STD or STI status will kill the mood. And it's difficult. You know, I lecture a lot of kids, like in high school and college, about knowing your partner's STD history and being very outward and honest about it. If you're going to engage in sexual activity, sexual intercourse, you know, you shouldn't feel embarrassed about asking somebody about their sexual health history. And the important thing is obviously getting tested so you know what your status is, so you're not passing anything along unknowingly.
And I also
Yeah.
I tell people, and this can be a little hard to hear for some people, but I'll say to them, you know, part of sexual health and wellness is a certain level of maturity. And if you're not comfortable asking certain questions, then I say you're not necessarily ready to then be having sex.
I agree with you totally. I totally think that's right. I think, you know, having sex and being intimate with somebody is a commitment, and it's a major step, and it's a step of maturity. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, people always say to me, well, what age is the average age that people start having sex? I do lots of lectures with high school kids. And I always say it's not really an age. It's almost a maturity level. There may be a very immature 19-year-old that's not really, you know, ready to have sexual intercourse, and there may be a mature 16-year-old that is. So, you know, it's a difficult question to answer, but it's very important to be up close and personal and honest with your partner about what you might have been exposed to.
Because I even say that about relationships where I think some people aren't necessarily emotionally or psychologically mature enough to bring another person into their life relationally, leaving the sex piece out, right? So it's like it's
completely
a broader statement about just how healthy are you in the world and just assessing that in your partners. But anyway, sorry.
Totally. Listen, I totally agree with you. I think that's true. I think we have to really take a deep look inside ourselves and try to figure out what we're ready for. Because the other issue, of course, is the emotional fallout. And people underestimate this. You know, there are a whole bunch of studies on this. One study I wanted to bring up was done out of Ohio State, a journal of sex research showed that people that have poor mental state are more likely to engage in casual sex. And so people that, you know, and this is true for both genders, for both men and women. So men and women that may have a poor mental state, that may be depressed or anxious or even having suicidal thoughts, are more likely to engage in these casual sex encounters that may put you at risk for all sorts of different diseases. That's the first thing. The second thing is there seems to be a genetic link, believe it or not, for casual sex. And this is another really interesting study that came out of England, and it looked at the levels of dopamine in the brain that was associated with things like compulsive behavior, risk-taking behavior, like partying and gambling, even alcoholism, and the same group tested positive for a gene that correlated with promiscuous sexual behavior. So there may be a genetic link to taking a risk or the high that comes in taking some sort of sexual risk. It may be, you may have a genetic predisposition to this. The other interesting thing I found in research, Chris, is out of the journal Human Nature, was that men tend to drop their standards when they're doing casual sex or a one-night stand with a heterosexual or single-sex partner, and women seem to raise them only in a heterosexual relationship, which is very interesting. So, you know, there's lots of interesting emotional fallout. The other issue is just for women, and it's a women's health issue, that women, when they're intimate with someone, whether it's sexual intercourse or not, usually release this oxytocin hormone that sometimes gets released or often gets released after a woman has a baby. And it's known as the cuddling hormone, or a hormone that makes people feel close to each other. Women tend to release that hormone, especially after orgasm with a partner. And even though a lot of women feel like they won't regret having a one-night stand if they have no relationship afterwards, 50% of them had negative feelings, according to this study that I looked at, versus 72% of men had overall positive feelings, even if they didn't follow up with the partner that they hooked up with the next day. So there are gender differences involved in this. There is an emotional toll, and there's absolutely a physical risk. So people need to be very careful when engaging in casual sex, and it's always good to have safe sex.
Oh, there we
and
go.
Know your
now,
partner's history.
Well, job well done. You scared everyone.
That's right.
No one's ever having sex again. Just
Happy
in time
Monday,
for Halloween.
Everybody.
That's right. Starting the week off right with Dr. Jen Wider.
Make a buzzkill with Dr. Wider. Thank you very much.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at Dr. Wider across social media.
All right. Question of the night's coming up next. There's still some time to weigh in on that. Tonight's question is, why do you think there's a double standard for bisexual men versus bisexual women? Weigh in on that. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Now that we've all gotten over the shock of hookup culture and one-night stands, courtesy of Dr. Jen Wider. Oh, that segment made me laugh. Guess what, y'all? It's time for Question of the Night.
Question of the Night.
Tonight's question is, why do you think there's a double standard between the bisexuality of men versus that of women? Oh, y'all are bringing the answers tonight. Someone said, because we live in a sexist effing world. I mean, mic drop, that's kind of it. It's all in there. Someone else said, women, it's seen as innocent, but a bi guy just says, oh, he's closeted gay. That's right. Someone said porn fetishizes sex with women. Okay. Yeah. That actually could be an entire segment. Someone else said too many insecure women. Yeah. Wait, what does that mean? That you're saying it's the women that won't allow the bisexuality of men to be legit because they're insecure. Someone else said because society tells young men that they are either gay or straight, which is BS. It's true. Someone else said toxic masculinity. But bisexual of all genders are raised both in gay and straight cultures. True. Someone else said toxic masculinity and internalized homophobia. It's true. Double whammy, that one. Someone else said people find female and female more sexy. So when a woman is bi, they find it more acceptable. It's truth. It's eroticized. Male and male sexuality scares most people. Someone else said because any deviance from heterosexuality is a threat, actively policed, and is punished. Bam. Someone else said toxic masculinity. Someone else said homophobia, misogyny, and toxic masculinity. Bam, y'all are on it tonight. Someone else said girl on girls fetishized by a lot of men, whereas man on man isn't fetishized by as many women. That's true. It's true. Although interesting to point out that a large population of female identified are gay porn consumers. Someone said, I don't know why, but I have a friend who's wanting to change, and it seems to be the hardest for him. Yeah, I see that. Someone else said the confines of the gender binary. Truth, 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 truth. Someone else said, usually it's because he wants... Wait. Someone said, my mom was more accepting of me dating women than my bro being gay. Yeah. Someone said that women only engage in sexuality through persuasion. So if a girl... Wait, this one's out of order. I can't get the flow of that one going. It's like chopped up. Yes, I'm trying to figure out the order of this one. Anyway, I can't read it. It's out of order, but... There we go. Those are good ones. Thank you to all those that participated. We gotta take a little break. Coming up next, though, we're going to be sliding back in those DMs. So stick around. Listening to Love Live with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Yeah. You want to get flown out here? We'll take you to the Abbey. Put you up in an amazing hotel. Give you two tickets to the Ellie's big event, We Can Survive concert. Go to wearechannelq.com to enter and win because we're celebrating our one-year anniversary. It's a big deal. We're going to send you and a friend out here to LA. Come hang out with us. We'll go get a drink at the Abbey. But time to slide in those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Dear Dr. Chris, I had my boundaries violated and I walked away upset at myself for being turned on, even though I still felt strongly about my limits. I think many of us think being hot and bothered means we wanted it, even if we know we didn't. Thoughts? Bam, that's an important one. Yeah, you can hold both at the same time. One can feel like your boundaries are being violated and you're being pushed beyond the limits that you're comfortable with, and also being aroused with the sexual experience at the same time. And that's what's really interesting for people that are victims of sexual violence, is sometimes pleasure was associated with the incident and arousal, and that's very confusing. But remember that there's a disconnect between the physical and the psychological arousal, and that even if you're not psychologically feeling safe or aroused, with enough stimulation, your body can respond aroused and vice versa. So it can be disconnected. But yeah, you know, we also walk away from some boundary violations learning about ourselves, right? And next time maybe, you know, it'll be more powerful for you, and you'll take care of yourself in a different way. And that's the best we can do, right? Is, you know, set boundaries with those that don't have any boundaries. And if that's not possible, we remove them from our lives and we just try to do better next time. So anyway, go easy on yourself. We all have to kind of do a little bit of learning. Find out about ourselves that way. All right, Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. That's our show. Thanks for hanging out with me. And our show is always podcasted at wearechannelq.com. And we'll be back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all have a good night. See you tomorrow.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.